when Pilate brought him out after that beating, and Jesus was all cut up and bleeding, Pilate said, "Here's the man." And they said, "Crucify him." And Pilate bore witness to his innocence by saying, "Why? What evil has he done?" And they said, "Away with him." The same people that just 3 or 4 days earlier had called him their king and their Messiah now said, "Away with him. Away with a fellow like this." The prophet Isaiah said he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Jesus knows what it feels like to be let down by people you trust. It says in the Psalms of Judas, "My friend who has eaten my bread has lifted his heel up against me." David made that complaint when Saul and his men were chasing him, probably not realizing he was prophesying about the betrayal of Jesus Christ. This wicked man, Judas, Jesus and the Holy Spirit called him his friend. That's how he looked at him. "He's one of my friends." And Jesus said, "He's ate my bread, he's communed with me, and now he's lifted up his heel." And Isaiah the prophet, 700 years before Jesus was born, prophesied this. And you notice he included himself in the crowd, even though he would be dead for 7 centuries before Jesus walked the earth. Isaiah said, "We didn't esteem him." You cannot be saved until you own the fact that you are a sinner, lost and condemned, and that you are as guilty as of nailing Jesus Christ to that cross as those who actually did it. But he did it because of his love. Pilate sentenced Jesus to die so that we could live. The author of life. John said, "In him was life, and that life was the light of all men. And it's the light that shines on every man." Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." The Greek there, when I read the commentaries on it, it's all-encompassing life. Jesus said, "I am the very source of life." And yet he allowed himself to be condemned to death so you and I could live. He came to give eternal life, and that was the only way he could do it. Somebody had to pay the debt for sin. And if we paid it, we were lost. I hear people today saying that Jesus is a crutch. Well, when you're crippled, that's what you need. Well, I don't need that Jesus. I don't need the church. I'll stand before God and he'll weigh my good against my bad. I hear that. And to be honest with you, I want to ask those people, are you stupid in any other area of your life? Because you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And he's not going to judge whether you're good or bad. He's going to say, "Did you accept what I did for you on the cross?" And if you say no, he's going to say, "Then your sins are still on your head, and then I will judge you." And see, the Bible says if you're guilty of breaking one of God's laws, you're guilty of all of it. So you'll be judged as a lawbreaker. God's not going to look and say, "Well, you went to church once in a while, and you did put money in the plate, but you rejected my son, but you did serve as a Sunday school superintendent for a while, or, you know, maybe you taught for a little bit, so I'm going to let you in." He said, "You rejected what I did for you, and that's the only way you can come to me, is through Jesus Christ." Isaiah said, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Jesus was crucified between two thieves. Isaiah says he was numbered with the transgressors. In Luke's account, one of the thieves, he quits railing on Jesus. The other Gospels say that both the thieves railed against Jesus. They joined in with the crowd. And one of them all of a sudden realizes the gravity of the situation they're in. And he says to his partner in crime, "Don't you fear God even when you're dying?" He said, this man hasn't done anything wrong. We're getting what we deserve. That's what repentance is. He didn't say, "The prison psychologist, Dr. Ignoramus, talked to me and said, it's not my fault, it was my raising, and it's not my fault I'm nailed to this cross. It's my mom and dad's fault. It's society's fault." He looked over at Jesus and said, "I've sinned, and I deserve what I'm getting. But," he said, "Lord, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom?" That's faith, because Jesus is hanging on a cross, and this guy's talking about coming into a kingdom. Jesus said, "I got time to save one soul before I die. Yeah, you're going to be with me." That's repentance. He was numbered with the transgressors. It said that the men took his clothing. That was part of the pay for the executioner. Any of your clothing, your boots, jewelry, anything like that that you had on when you were crucified was removed. And the executioners got that. They could sell it at the market. And that was their money. So Jesus was hanged on the cross naked, so we could be clothed in his righteousness. For God so loved, he exposed his son to public shame and disgrace, so you and I could have dignity. We could be somebody. He died the death of a criminal that men might be acquitted before God. The Apostle Paul said that the cross is a stumbling block to the Jews and the Greeks. The Greeks search for wisdom. The Jews look for signs. And he said the cross of Jesus Christ was a stumbling block to both of them. But he said to those who believe, it's the power of God unto salvation. Jesus stood before Pilate and heard the words, "Guilty." So you and I could stand before him one day and hear the words, "Not guilty." He was hung naked so you and I could be clothed in his righteousness. For God so loved. The Bible says, "Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted as righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities." Jesus was buried in a borrowed tomb. Isaiah said he made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. The author of life died. We're reading Revelation in Sunday school. And in the first chapter, when John meets the glorified Christ, he says, "I fell at his feet like a dead man." And Jesus put his right hand on him, the blessing hand, and he said, "Don't be afraid. It's me. I am the first. I am the last. I am he who was alive and was dead, and I'm alive forever." He died and tasted death for us that we could live eternally with him. I want to die a peaceful death, but I don't fear death because my Lord's already tasted it for me. And I know when I step over, he's going to be waiting right there. I don't have any doubt in my mind. No deceit, no violence, nothing that he had done sent him to the cross. Jesus was sent to the cross by the foreknowledge of the Father. The Bible said it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. All this was done because God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in Him, and that word believe means cling to with everything in you, whoever would follow Him, whoever would entrust the rest of their life to Him, will not perish. That was accomplished through the cross. We forget sometimes of the great and awful price that Jesus paid. We don't like to think about death. We don't like to think about suffering. Jesus gave a commandment to His church. He said, if you want to follow Me, you have to pick up your cross. You have to die to yourself so you can live for Me. Are you carrying your cross this morning? Why don't you stand with me? If you're here this morning and you've never made a commitment to Christ, you've never accepted what He did for you on that cross of Calvary, then I'd like to invite you to come this morning as we sing our song of invitation. Just come up here and sit on the front row and we'll be glad to visit with you. If you're here this morning and you're away from Christ, and you say, I know that I'm away from Christ, and maybe I've forgotten what He has done for me, right where you're at, just thank Him. And repent of that. And say, Lord, you know, I forget sometimes. I take for granted the great price You paid for my salvation. The Bible says we're not to trample that holy blood under our feet and count it as an unholy thing. Support the Ministerial Alliance and these area churches in this revival that we'll be preaching. I hope you've been praying for it and praying for the speakers, because you're going to get out of it whatever you put into it. I hope you'll come tonight expecting to be blessed as the Word of God is preached. Expect to be fed and encouraged and lifted up. I had one spoken.